meeting to order. Is the recorder on?
Yep.
Okay. The Sewage Commission Orville Region Regular Board Meeting for December 17th at 11 a.m. in the Score Book Room. We have roll call.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner Salvucci.
Here.
Commissioner Masalato.
Here.
Commissioner Pittman.
Here.
Commissioner Thompson, running behind. Commissioner Coach.
Here.
And Commissioner Clark.
Here.
Commissioner Coach, would you lead us in the flag salute?
Salute. Pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, sir. Acknowledgements of visitors in the room. I see none other than board members. And number five is board meeting minutes.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we included last month's meeting minutes in your packet. And if you have any questions about those, I can answer them now, or if you saw anything that was not accurate.
I'll make a motion that we approve the meeting minutes.
I'll second that.
Okay, some motion and second. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? So carry. Number six, authorization of warrants.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we included this month's warrants in your... I'm sorry. Commissioner Clark came down yesterday and helped me with the warrants. He can report.
Yeah, we went over the warrants yesterday. Warrants paid at this meeting are numbers 3,095 through 3,139 through Golden Valley Bank in the amount of $522,827.49, including commissioner's checks numbers 11,554 through 11,559 and electronic funds transfer.
Perfect.
I'll second that.
Okay, so motion and second to authorize warrants. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? So carry. Thank you all. Appreciate your time and efforts there. I might add, how's it going with the new bank?
Great.
Great.
Great. Customer service is awesome. I forget what we had, but they came down immediately, and okay. We were here to talk to us
just
about it.
Just want to see a little follow-up with the chain.
Yeah, no, it's been really good. Lori could speak to it. There was something, and it's just slipping my mind, something that 100% would have affected us negatively from Bank of America, and Golden Valley caught it and came down here and let us know immediately. Forget it. I'll think of it before the end of the meeting. But anyway, they've been nothing but great.
That's good to hear. Fiscal reports, item number seven.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we included this month's fiscal reports in your board meeting packet. If there's any questions, I can answer those now.
Any questions from board members, commissioners?
No.
I'm glad to see that we're in the budget.
Yes.
There you go.
In most categories. So I had to tell the maintenance foreman to slow down a little bit. But.
Still doing good.
Good. Well, I don't think we're missing the landscaping out here either.
No, I really like it. After this last rain and they all got cleaned off and stuff, it really goes good with the rest of the gray and everything. I think it's a really nice looking improvement.
Actually, and it's a huge improvement to your fire safety.
Yes, we don't have
those
candles
bushes,
in front of the...
bushes go up like gasoline when they burn. All right, number eight, after hour standby policy.
Yes, Mr. Chair. So on the request of the board a couple of months ago, you guys asked us to look at these, any policies or pay structures that we have that were behind the rest of the industry. So we kind of focused in on the after hours standby stuff. And last month we hit the operators and we went with, you guys chose to go with 1 hour of straight pay per day on call. We kind of looked at this thing over and over to try to figure out a way that would be as fair as that for the supervisors, and really our only way was to just match the same thing. Now granted, these guys make more money, and there it is a cost increase, so it would be approximately $20,000 a year to put them above what we pay now to institute this policy. Currently they're both getting 1 week off vacation time for, or we call it standby time, for being on call. We would take that away from them if they were to get this. The one caveat to that is I would argue that maybe we would think about giving the 1 week to Micah. Currently for Micah being at meetings, I just give him comp time because he's an overtime employee. He doesn't, you know, I'm here, salary, whatever, it doesn't matter. He is here after hours to be here for meetings. So currently we give him comp time. When I did the math, the comp time equates to about a week. So my thought was we could just not give him comp time anymore and give him a week and make it required that he comes, because it's not in his job description that he comes to these meetings, make it a requirement that he comes to these meetings, and then reward him with the week off. You know, that's going to kind of above and beyond. Micah's kind of above and beyond employee. Mm-hmm. So I thought that maybe that would be appropriate. Obviously not my decision, your guys' decision. Or we can go back to the drawing board and try to figure out a different way to do this, because $20,000 is a significant increase, especially when you add it to the increases that you approved last month. So, which would take us to $60,000, I believe, on our, $35,000 on our call out. On our standby pay is what that's going to go to, from $5,000 currently, and 2 weeks of vacation that we give the guys. So it's significant compared to what we currently give them. It's, you know, it's percentage of the budget wise, it's not that significant, but $35,000 is $35,000. So I just, you know, I'm not trying to slip anything by you guys. I just want you guys to know totally upfront what it would impact. I do think it's fair compensation for them to, you know, since they are giving up half of their life to be on call for the place. But I did it for a week vacation. He did it for a week. He's done it for a week vacation. Mitch has done it for a week vacation. So if you guys were to say no, keep it the way it is, they're not going to leave. They're not going to quit.
So you got to jog my memory, because I was not on the board. You did create a comp time policy.
Yes, mm-hmm. We do have a comp time policy.
So you can keep track of whatever time he spends and allot him comp time through that policy.
Yep.
And I say you keep that as it is, and we move forward from here as long as legal's good with that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's what I say.
So we call it the Micah rule.
Well, essentially, yeah, we wouldn't change any rules at that point. We wouldn't give him the week of vacation ahead of time. We would just, every meeting, he would just write down his time and get comp time for it. And it comes out to about a week. That way he gets it piecemeal per month, instead of right now he just gets a week, here you go, and he could schedule vacations and do it that way. But he also has vacation.
And you've talked to Mike, and he's good with that?
He likes the week off. That's kind of why I'm pitching the week off.
To be honest, anything above what we're getting now is better than what we're getting now. I mean, all we got was a week vacation before. I do like spending time with my family, but
that's fair.
I don't mind taking booking comp time either.
Is the comp time, can he
accrue it? Yeah.
Accrue it, thank you for that. To have that week?
Yes, we have a 40-hour max on it, so yeah.
Then there's no problem.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I don't see a problem with that.
No. As long as it caps out.
Yep.
Okay.
I mean, that's my opinion.
Yeah.
I don't want to speak for everybody.
That's a good opinion. That's
I know what I went through.
Yeah.
My comp time didn't equate to anything.
No, exactly. And so you're suffering for 25 years, and my little bit of suffering in the beginning of it was why we looked at it and changed it, because we didn't feel like it was fair.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. All right. Any other questions for board members?
No, I think it's a great idea.
Do I hear a motion?
I'll make a motion to reserve policy 7212, after hour standby policy.
2712.
2712.
I'll second that.
Motion and second. I guess the roll call vote?
Yes. Okay. Commissioner Mastalato?
Yes.
Commissioner Pittman?
Yes.
Commissioner Coach?
Yes.
Okay.
Item number 9, we need Mr. Coach to...
Yes, I will recuse myself at this time.
Okay. So that was a misprint here on this one, huh?
Did we have 7212 on yours?
Yeah, it says...
Oh, yeah.
So
but on the top it says...
2712.
At the top, yeah.
2 out of 3.
Yeah.
All right,
I'm sorry
resolution
about that.
Number 09-24, resolution maintaining healthcare benefits and establishing additional funding to the healthcare reimbursement arrangement.
Mr. Chairman. As you guys know, the city changed their insurance, and we were not able to go with them on their policies. So luckily we were able to find a matching Blue Shield policy to not change our medical insurance, our primary benefit in any way, and same cost, so that was awesome. What we could not do is find a gap policy, and the gap policy is basically designed to pick up the deductible for your regular policy. We could not find one that was even remotely the same price or even structured in the same way. We thought that a good replacement for that would be to add $1,500 a year to their HRA, which is a reimbursable health care account. There will be a $3,249.12 cost difference. It'll cost SCORE $3,200 more than having the gap insurance. The caveat with it, that is, though, is if they don't use all that $4,500 by the end of the year, SCORE gets it back.
Oh, mm-hmm.
So it's not a rolling account. So I actually think that we'll save money with this policy compared to the gap, because typically nobody empties out there. I do. I'm older. I have a family. We have some of the older people kind of empty that account, but the younger guys hardly even touch their HRA. They're like allergic to the doctor or whatever. But so I actually think at the end of the year, it probably will save money. But on paper, it costs $3,000 more to do it. But I think it's a good replacement, and we ran it by the crew, ran it by the employees. All of them said, yeah, that's a more than fair option. So we're asking you guys to approve that. And the reason Scott had to recuse is because since he retired here, he gets medical through here. He pays for it, but he gets it. So he can't vote on this.
Well, that was my other question, is if you have any retirees that are outstanding, are there? Do you have any other retirees other than Scott?
Ray.
No, Ray is off.
He's off now.
Okay. So other than Scott, no.
Okay, because for the city, we had to cash out some of the firefighters that were out for their medical that they traded for sick leave.
Gotcha.
And it cost us a lot of money.
Yeah.
To do it. So this big change on medical insurance has caused a lot of other consequences.
Yeah, it's a spider web.
It is a big spider web, because Teamsters won't let anybody be on the policy unless they were a Teamster. So it's created all kinds of problems.
Yeah.
So
you said 3,000 per, but you're only going up 1,500.
3,249 for the whole, all 10 of us.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Because we were paying $1,100, I think, for the other one. For each per employee.
So the question I have is, with my health savings program, my company reimburses me $500 and they put that in my account, or no, it's $800. But then at the end of the year, I get taxed on it.
Yeah, so you might have an HSA. So an HSA is different than an HRA.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So they're not taxed additionally on that?
Nope.
Okay.
So yeah, the HSA is where you get like the debit card and you can go use it at CVS to buy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't have that option. We can go buy that stuff, but then you have to bring it in and we have to approve that it's a reimbursable cost.
Oh, okay.
So it's just a different process, but it doesn't, like I said, the HSA, I think that the HSA's role.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, the HRA doesn't.
Okay.
All right, any other questions from commissioners? Other than that, I'd entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to adopt resolution 09-24.
Second that.
Motion seconded. It's a roll call vote.
Yes, sir. Commissioner Mastalotto.
Yes.
Commissioner Pittman.
Yes.
And Commissioner Clark.
Yes.
Show in the record minutes that Commissioner Thompson is present.
Oh, yep.
Thanks. Yeah, sorry, I was late.
All good.
Change.
You didn't miss the food. That's the important part.
Just out of curiosity, what happened with 8?
We adopted it.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Awesome. And it's a nice improvement that probably well past due to have done. Right.
That was your baby.
Yep, it was.
Yep. We adopted it.
All right. Welcome back to the meeting. Our next item is number 10, resolution 11-24. A resolution to accept certain wastewater from out-of-service area septic pumpers, and revised policy 3205, septic dumper requirements.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. So it was brought to our attention here at SCORE that Neil Rhodes' septic facility was out of service. I don't know if it's still out of service or if it was a shorter term, outage, but. We have had a policy in the past that during public health events or fires or something like that we could open up our facilities to out of area dumping. It limited that to like gray water, stuff like that. It was mainly designed for fire camps. But Commissioner Coach and myself have had this discussion when he was the manager, and then we had it again this last week, that maybe this might be an opportunity for SCORE to help the community. You know, if you got a bunch of septic trucks full of septic that can't get rid of them, and then people can't get their septic tanks pumped, it's kind of a public health emergency, or at least a public health event. So we are asking for permission to, during those certain events, leave it up to the manager's discretion to whether or not we can take outside septage to you know, basically prevent any type of public health event from that situation. So essentially we're asking to give me permission to look at the case-by-case scenario and figure out if it's worthwhile or if it'll be valuable for the community for SCORE to help out in that way. Tailing off of that kind of same subject but separate thing, there could be an opportunity here in the future for SCORE to make serious revenue off Paradise's septage facility, because they just had a change in their plan. They, for the last 5 or 6 years or 15 years, they've been thinking about coming down the Skyway with their wastewater effluent if they built a plant. That just got nixed because they realized that that was not a good plan. Why it took them 15 years to feel that out, I don't know. They did. So there could potentially be, and Neil Road kind of wants out of the septage business, so there potentially could be a whole town up there that SCORE could offer services to and have another revenue stream. So that's not really for this policy today, but it's something that you guys should probably think about, because we'll probably be bringing this up here in the near future if we do feel like it's an opportunity for SCORE to open up another revenue stream.
Oh, isn't this a change from last year? Last year we just kept it in our area, didn't we vote on that?
It's always been in our area, yeah. We've never really accepted it, other than the one time two managers ago, Ray Souza, did institute a policy to help out in the fire camp scenario. But other than that, yeah, we typically do not take it from any other place. Now, with this said, we would have to make sure that any of these other pumpers, they've still got to come down here, they still got to fill out the same paperwork, they still got to have all the same insurance requirements that our local guys do. It's not going to just be the Wild West where they can come in and dump whatever they want. They still can't bring chemical toilets. You know, it'll be regulated the exact same way we do our local pumpers. We would just be able to accept it from outside area during these type of public emergency type of situations.
Get that revenue from Paradise. Now, do they have a holding facility that they'll pump out of and bring it to us? Or
I'm not sure how it'll. Currently, they just pump it out of the ground. Former manager.
I will comment on that. Right now, the reason why the pipeline down to Chico at the next was because of cost. It went from $200 million to $400 million. They just can't afford that. So now they're thinking a septage receiving facility in Paradise to handle the downtown waste. They still can't discharge that. They still would have to truck it someplace. So at that point, you're looking at the rags, the rock, the grit, all that being filtered out, so you'd just be dealing with the effluent of that, which would be gentle on the plant.
Mm-hmm. So they're taking the money that they have and they'll put holding ponds
or tanks,
or something.
I'm not really sure. I've been putting my feelers out trying to figure out what they're going to do, but I haven't got any answers on that yet. And then just for history, the only reason SCORE accepts septage from the greater area is when the Founding Fathers, when they put SCORE together, they realized that not everything was sewered. So they didn't want to leave out the people in the foothills that had septage. So that's the only reason why they allowed it to come here. Because the plant, truthfully, the plant is not designed to handle straight septage. That's why it goes out in the pond and then is brought back through.
Right.
They tried to put it into the front of the plant, and it would overload it. So, but that's the only reason SCORE takes it, is to help out the world's changed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. The things changed. Paradise needs to figure it out. They've been working on it for 50 years. They haven't figured it out yet, but.
We can make money off it, so.
As long as, in the way I look at it as an operator, is if it can be, if the rock, the gravel, and the rag can be removed, then you're just treating the liquid.
That's half the battle.
That's the majority of the battle.
Yeah.
You're not disposing of any more. Yeah, I mean, you think about the sludge tonnage. Half of that's probably rock and gravel,
yeah, mm-hmm.
from the septic trunk.
Yeah.
You remove that, and I don't think the cost is going to be that significant for disposal of sludge.
Yeah. How do they get rid of that, all that stuff, before they bring it here? Is there some kind of a treatment where it gets rid of that stuff before they put it
in? No, it goes right in the pond.
Paradise would have to install a screening system.
And then they would take it to Neil Road.
They're talking about putting in a receiving facility.
Gotcha.
So they would have to deal with all that.
I see.
The only thing left over would be the water.
Right.
And they still can't discharge it on the ground. If they could discharge it into a creek or overland or whatnot, they might as well just put a treatment facility in.
Yeah, exactly. Which, to me, that should be their long-term plan anyways, is to build a package plan.
So I'm not really sure what their thought process is on that, but if they put in a receiving facility, they still have to get rid of water.
Do they not want to put in a receiving, or is it money an issue, land an issue? Like, what's the whole
It's discharge. It's always been the discharge. What are they going to do with it?
Where are they going to get rid of the clean water when they're done?
Yeah. Right, but I mean, because it sounds like if they put in a treatment plant, then that would kind of, you know, that would be part of the solution, but the putting in the treatment plan is the hold up financial land acquisition?
No, the hold up on the treatment plant is a discharge. Once you, because it's all lava rock and it's going downhill. So then you have a effluent dominated creek, and regulations on that would.
Yeah.
I mean, if there's a cigarette butt floating down the creek.
You wouldn't be able to.
So like, Scott, we discharge ours after it's clean.
Right.
It goes to the river. They don't have any place to put it.
They got no river.
They got no river.
They have no creek.
So I would say, to me, just an operator brain, I would say put in a package plant and spray it on the ground. Like, make it recycle water, make it good, really, make a really good package plant and put it on the ground, use it to spray your downtown, the Skyway, whatever. That's the way I would do it.
Have their own purple pipe.
Exactly.
And the amount of water you're talking about is
minuscule. Yeah, it's 30, 40, 50,000 a day, something like that.
For us, it's a drop in a bucket. But they have a problem. They just can't see. I don't know what the problem is.
They need something to sewer. What they need.
It's a problem that they were the largest community west of the Mississippi.
On septic, yeah.
They still are.
Still are, yeah. They still are.
And I just don't get it, but.
I guess my question regarding, I like the your discussion because, there's, and forgive me for not knowing the terminology, but there's a certain amount of like toilets that we have within our capacity that we can use, right? Is it UTIs or not UTIs?
Connections.
What is it?
EDUs.
EDUs. UTIs, urinary tract infection. Yeah.
That's what you get if you don't have a good sewer system.
EDUs.
Yes.
We have a certain number of EDUs.
Yes.
So, as the community and the city wants to expand, that would be my concern of not affecting that. So I guess if it's up to your discretion.
Yeah, if we got up against it, I would just be like, nope, can't bring it.
But then the second thing is, if we have that agreement with them, then there needs to be some understanding that you can't necessarily fully rely on us because we can't go into contract and say we guarantee that we're going to receive your effluent.
Yeah, if we were in a position like that with the capacity. Now, hopefully the upgrades would handle that and we wouldn't have to worry about that. But, we'll have to cross that bridge when we come to it.
There's other ways of looking at it, too. You might have some private industries or private people that have land, extra EDUs. They may want to take in some septic effluent and then send it down the system, which at that point is diluted by the entire town, and you never even notice it here.
Yeah.
You take LOPA, all the stuff from the state comes through here.
Yeah.
Out of the floating campground, all that stuff. We don't see it. SCORE doesn't see it because it's
diluted enough. Yeah.
It's diluted.
It goes through our lift stations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's other ways of this working also, mm-hmm. and benefiting everybody.
Well, and then down the line, if it does become a big thing that helps out Paradise, it might be time for them to pony up some money.
Well, they used us. They used us, to get their money to rebuild the town.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, truthfully, we're doing the same thing with Neil Road.
Yeah.
Because of course Neil Road says they're trucking their waste out of town, which they're taking it to Lincoln.
They take it to Lincoln and us.
Take it to Lincoln and here.
Uh-huh.
So that we're still treating it. We're just doing it under a different contract.
Yeah, and that they're essentially doing what Paradise's septic receiving station would do for us right now. They're taking all the junk out of it, all the big stuff, and then they just bring us the water.
Yeah.
So we would basically just trade a Neil Road customer for Paradise customer, but we'd get a better rate from the Paradise customer because we have kind of an interagency agreement where we cut them a pretty nice deal with the Neil Road.
And this resolution gives you the power to say yes or no.
Yes.
Yeah. Any other questions on that item? Good discussion, folks. Entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to adopt resolution 11-24.
And roll call vote?
Yes. Commissioner Mastalotto?
Yes.
Commissioner Pittman?
Yes.
Commissioner Coach?
Yeah.
Unanimous.
All right.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Do you have any estimate as far as what you think potentially could come in through that agreement?
No idea on that yet. Just to have to see how much they, you know, really do. We currently, when we raised our rate, we had one significant dumper leave. They just said we charge too much. Yuba City was charging really low. I don't know how Yuba City's covering their costs on it, but whatever. But we still made more money. We still made like 150K more or something like that. So it would be a nice little chunk. Any chunk would be a nice little chunk. So
how soon do you think this would be?
Paradise? I have no idea when we would start to see that. Currently, we've already had a couple come in from out of the area because Neil Road was closed. And I just to be honest, I was like, I'll let you because you're in a bind and I don't want to, you know,
right.
With everything in the news and SCORE being in the news, I didn't want to be SCORE to be in the news anymore for not allowing some septage. So I was like, cool, whatever, well, let's do it. But typically, I stepped out of my bounds really to do that, to be honest. But yeah, as far as Paradise, I don't know. I could look into it and give you some hard information.
So maybe do we just ask for a report back in like 6 months?
Sure. Yeah, I can do that for
like
sure.
The situation when we had the temporary village out here with the Seidenmetz property, well, they have like 2,000 workers working and they were bringing everything here.
Yeah.
Kind of like the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we've done it for like the fire camps are,
right.
Or, you know,
yeah.
There's a lot of water goes to those teaching facilities. And
sure does.
Do you have the right to make a common sense decision before a board meeting and just reach out to the president and get an okay on that? For instance, something like this. If we didn't have this meeting and this kept going for another week or two,
I would
have that authorization.
That's what this is.
This would be giving me that authorization.
Yeah, did you have it before?
No, not really.
You didn't.
No. I mean, like I said, I kind of went out of my bounds a little bit to make that call. I felt like it was the right call to make, and I was like, I'll let them know at the board meeting. If it would have been like truck after truck after truck, I probably would have called for a special meeting, or at least called the mayor and asked him, hey, do you think I should do a special meeting here? Obviously, I would be talking to the attorney to make sure I'm not getting crazy. Yeah. But yeah, I felt like a couple trucks, you know, I'd be willing to do that. If it would have been more than that, I probably would have called for a special meeting.
Because
that is about above my...
Why Neil Rose closed down, do we?
I didn't know why at the time, no. And to be honest, I've been super busy with a bunch of other stuff, so I didn't really investigate. I just figured, you know, after I talked to Commissioner Coach, I was like, cool, we'll let him come in. We'll work on a policy to get it permanently. And we just moved on.
Good.
Go ahead.
It'd be great if there was somebody that, you know, is not a sewer, you know, not in charge of running a plant that started one in Paradise.
Yeah.
I've been business idea.
I've been working on it. But the, you know, the manager discretion part is, you know, Glenn knows the plant. Mm-hmm. You can't just let anybody, you know, fly by night somebody come in because you don't know what's in their trucks.
Sure.
So you have to really pay attention to what's coming off the field. And I wouldn't say we don't advertise that we're doing what we're doing.
No.
You know, when it comes in, it comes in. And if someone calls and says, hey, I need some help. Mm-hmm. You know, and we've had it before where schools, you know, their septic just failed. And it's like, you don't want kids running through sewers. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, get it pumped out, bring it here, let's take care of the business. Mm-hmm. You know, so.
Well, Paradise is going to be a problem for a long time.
Yep.
It's not going to be rebuilt that easily. So, all right. Next item is number 11, attorney's report.
Yeah, Chair and Commissioners. Update is the policies and resolutions are already passed. We reviewed. They look good. I mean, I would have made a comment before, but the point is we coordinate before the meeting and provide edits and all that kind of stuff as necessary. terms of any other legal updates litigation-wise, you know, nothing substantive since the last closed session update that we had on the K&M developer project. We did get assigned a judge. It's Judge Benson from Butte County Superior. Hopefully should be, fair. We don't know of anything otherwise. The Colantino firm continues to handle that litigation, feels good about it. They did add in a new attorney who's helping with this case because one of the other attorneys has moved out of the country, actually. But I see no issue with that change. Michael Colantino is the head partner, and he has overseen it. He's been very involved, and so that's a good thing. I think he's very well representing the district. But those are my comments, and to the extent we have substantive changes in that, we'll do a closed session next meeting in January to update the board.
Okay. Any questions? Thank you. Number 12, manager's report.
Yes, Mr. Chair. I just wanted you guys to, if you look at your flow report that came in this time, you'll see that these things are red, blocked out red, both City of Oroville and Lake Oroville Public Utility District. This last storm gave it to us pretty good. I think we took in 22 million gallons in one day, which is a lot, and especially when we're, designed for 10 and a half. But I just wanted to note the reason that these two were not filled out on this is not because we had a flow meter issue like we had in the past. It's because we had a root ball that got stuck. It was about a 12-foot root ball, about 2-foot diameter, that came down the Loapud line. They're investigating to try to figure out where it came from. But anyways, it got lodged in the Parshall flume, backed it up, put the water way up, and so we had inaccurate flow totals coming from Loapud. The city doesn't have a flow meter. We basically subtract Thermalito and Lake Oroville's flow totals from the total, and then that the difference is the city's. So with having an inaccurate number for Loapud, that gives me an inaccurate number for the city of Oroville. We didn't even want to try to guess on what those numbers would be, so we just left them blank. So I just wanted to explain that when you guys notice that, because I know that we did have blank spots in there for a long time during the flow meter issue. I didn't want you guys to have like PTSD or anything. It's fixed, so we're good. So as far as each individual entity, so myself and Micah attended the city. They had a Bluebeam software demo, which Bluebeam is basically like an Adobe Pro type of program that they can use during, and Micah could probably speak to this better than me since he's a former planner, but they can use during the planning stages of development. It lets everybody make comments. Everyone gets their own stamps for it, so any of your stuff is individualized. And so in order to kind of close this hole that's been happening where the city gets projects and we get them or we don't get them based upon whoever's working at the time and been educated and not, I just said, include me in your process. Whatever you guys are doing, we need to be part of so that we can make sure that we don't miss anything from here going forward. So we're going to look at getting this Bluebeam software as well to try to help us stay in the loop with the city. We were there with them on that.
Mike, let me ask a question. Is that tied in with this? I know Patrick's got a new software for people doing development that you could actually put your plan in the software.
The Bluebeam software is that. It's essentially a plan check software. Okay. So they can upload the construction plans into the Bluebeam software and then send it out to whoever they want to review those plans. And like Glenn was saying, individual agencies, individuals can comment and actually physically stamp their approval of those plans. And that is a companion software to your new permit tracking
system. Tyler Intergov is what you guys are getting. Yes.
Thank you. The beauty of that is you actually set up a file and you put your idea in there. And then that's your idea, and it stays to your file. Nobody else can
correct
steal it, or it's not public domain.
And so part of the communication breakdown between the city and SCORE has been the city's permit tracking system.
Right.
SCORE was not a privy to that and was not part of that system.
Right.
It was sending out automatic emails to the different departments within city and any outside agencies that needed to be involved in a project.
Right.
And we weren't included in that. And so hopefully through this new Bluebeam system, we will be included in those.
Good.
Well, part of the process on the Bluebeam for them is that they are going to look for, they're going to say this project needs 10 stamps, one from engineering, one from fire, one from schools, one from SCORE. And so when they look at their thing, if SCORE's stamp is not on the project, it can't move forward. The software will not let it move forward.
Right.
So
this will be a cost for SCORE, and I'll bring that to you here in the future, but I feel like paying whatever cost for the software is better than getting sued over projects that we didn't see. So, you know, I kind of feel like SCORE shouldn't have to pay for this software and do this, but you know, I can stand on principle and keep having things fall through the cracks, or I can just bite the bullet and fix the problem. So that's where I'm at.
Yeah.
Well, we would hope the county would also consider the same idea. So outside the city areas, the same thing would apply.
That's the other.
Yeah, and that. So I was going to get to that part too. So we went to the LAFCO meeting to talk about the consolidation stuff there, and I was under the assumption that everyone was going to speak, but I spoke, so that's fine. basically, you know, we assured them that through this type of stuff, we can close these real and non-existent deficiencies and inefficiencies that they see in the system. So, you know, I'm kind of, since I'm the SCORE manager, I'm kind of the JPA lead guy on that stuff, and so I've kind of taken that role, and that's fine, I'll do that. But anyways, this is part of that. This is part of the whole picture, just trying to get the JPA on one page.
Right.
So
let me add to this discussion, because it's a pending thing with the city. I think it's going to come to the council first meeting in January, I think. But there's a incentive idea to help with city impact fees, to allow those impact fees to be paid over a period of time, like 7 to 10 years. And I only mention it because it's the only thing the city has control over, their impact fees, but as an incentive for developers to, instead of upfronting the money, they would be able to upfronting or pay that out over a 7 to 10 year period. We haven't decided on that, but it's going to come to council as a policy soon. I just throw it out here to SCORE to think about the future, if that's even the choice for the scoreboard to even consider. Because impact fees are a big difficult problem for any developer to occur. It's just a lot of money to pop down. If you pay it out over a 10-year period, then you've got revenue coming in versus sitting, you know, in a bank and going to that. And it's still the same amount, it's just paid out. Now, I don't know if, Ryan, you've run across this in other jurisdictions or not, but we're told that a lot of states use this quite heavily, and it's something new really for this area to consider.
Will it be like a Mellor Ruse bond?
No, it's not that far, Mellor Ruse. I would rather Mellor Ruse myself, because then the money stays to the assignment of Mellor Ruse, because Mellor Ruse is very specific where the money goes.
Yeah.
But this is more of a way to help the developer pay the impact fees over a period of time. They need even a suggestion to actually not collect any impact fees until the property is sold. So if it's sold, then in the sale, then the impact fees are paid out of that sale per lot or per house, whatever. So I just throw that out there for discussion purposes. The city hasn't acted on anything. I know it was discussed in a couple meetings, and it probably will come to the city council in January sometime. So,
you know, the only question I have about that is, as money gets tighter with the developers and they're trying to unload their properties, mm-hmm. Are you going to record something, or is it going to be with the taxes where the title companies can find it?
It would probably be recorded somewhere in the process. Yeah, that's part of the detail I'm working out. It's just the way for paying the impact fees process, and that's definitely one of the processes that should probably be involved in the process. So, anyway, it's just an incentive idea, because it's hard to get a development off the ground. I mean, it really is, and we all know that process that we have. California is the state that created impact fees. I know I went back to Washington, and we were dealing with other states and housing projects thinking, what are these impact fees? We never heard of such a thing. It's only in California based on Proposition 13, so
right.
Interesting.
And I had not seen that in other jurisdictions, but I share your, every jurisdiction is concerned about impact fees. They want them to help with infrastructure,
yes.
But they also know that it potentially impedes development. So that teeter-totter is always a delicate balance. So that's an interesting maybe workaround to delay it or extend that a little bit.
Right.
I'll be curious to watch that.
Yeah, and it's basically a perception of a loan, and then that there would be interest to be paid on it right above late, you know, interest rate or something. So that's the discussion. It's just a topic.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
There's a problem with deeds of trust, too, and subordinations.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have any questions on that, give me a call.
We will.
Okay, so moving on, Thermalito Water Sewer. Just a quick note, we, during the first part of the storm, one of our operators noticed that we had gotten a real muddy influent. So I sent out an email to the three crews letting them know that we were in search of whatever was mud was coming in. Then a half hour, Thermalito Water Sewer had found it, got it closed off, got it dealt with. So just wanted to add that in there that, you know, the JPA, that's, it's working at that point in time. You know, our operator did a good job of catching it. I spread the word, they went out, immediately attacked the problem and got it fixed. So we were pretty happy with that.
Was it a pipe failure?
It was one of the construction
yards.
And we figured it was. The contractors are jerks for this, but what they'll do is their yard will get flooded and they'll just go pop the manhole.
And pump it.
And just let it fill in. And yeah.
They don't have a good storm water.
I won't say that Rich did it, but he probably did it too when he was a contractor.
No.
I don't know where all that water is. But anyways, they handled it.
So the creek closed.
it worked the way it's supposed to work. There was no, you know, finger pointing or anything like that. It was like, cool, let's go out, find it, get it fixed, boom, and they did.
Is this reported to LAFCO, how we work together as a team, so they have it?
I've been reporting it to LAFCO.
I'll try to keep them up to date on this.
And to give LAFCO their credit and Steve Lucas credit from LAFCO, he speaks, when in that meeting, he spoke nothing but high regards about everybody that's involved in the JPA right now. He said in his time that he's been here, it's never worked this good. If it wasn't working this good, he would not be backing our idea of trying to fix it with policies and no consolidation. But that's why we ensured them that, hey, we realize that we're good actors. We're all behaving ourselves right now, but the wrong person comes into the mix and that goes away. So we want to handle that via policy so that the wrong person can't change the good work that we've all put in here. So,
great.
And they're lockstep with it. So it seems to be working. But that's all I got. I'm done. Because I already covered the Lillipud stuff earlier.
Commissioners?
No.
Seeing none, appreciate the information. We'll move on to visitor comments. Any visitor comments in the room? Seeing none, commissioner comments, staff comments. Stay over here. Scott?
Merry Christmas.
No. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
I did notice that the city was cleaning out the drains in front of our office today. So
good.
That's good.
All right. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. I'll add one thing that we've been working on, and I got to give credit to Feather River Recovery Alliance Group and Bill Conley and Sabutco. We've got the Army Corps of Engineers is committed to doing a full inspection of the levee in Oroville. And that full inspection may involve drains and all kinds of things because they've opened the door to it, and that's a big deal. And they're the ones that certify the levee. So, we're hoping that if their inspection shows something, we'll get a, you know, consideration for a grant.
Yeah, to help
and
you
I
fix
just
it.
I just mentioned that because it's probably going to be in the first part of 2025, and so Sabutco is handling that inspection and for the city. So that's a very good thing. It might be a lot of money that we just don't know because they operate in their own little world.
Yeah.
Of Army Corps of Engineers. So that's a good thing.
One thing I did need to add that I forgot in the manager's report, Thursday the bid ends for upgrade phase one. So we'll be opening the bids for upgrade phase one and figuring out exactly what those look like and how we want to proceed with the project.
Potential for a special meeting?
Yeah, potential for a special meeting there.
Okay.
If the bids are weird and you guys got to make a call on what...
Well, they're probably going to be way under, right?
Yeah, well...
Exactly.
Hopefully. But no, you guys will need to make a call on those bid alternatives, how much money you guys are comfortable with spending and all that. So,
yeah, definitely.
So we could have a special meeting in January because our meeting in January isn't till the 28th just because of the way the month works out. So I don't think we want to wait that long. But I'll let you guys know.
Any update on Ruby Creek?
60% design. We're kind of looking at that right now, just kind of going over that. I have a copy if you'd like to look. For you as well. Moving forward.
Good.
So if we do have a special meeting in January, just know on the week of the 20th, January, I'll be in D.C. at the inauguration.
Okay. We'll do it before then if we're going to have one.
And I'll be in Costa Rica that week.
Oh, you're luckier than him.
Yeah. I don't know. I'd rather be at the inauguration.
I would like to be there too. Yeah.
Okay, so the week of the 20th is no bueno. Cool.
All right.
Well, as long as we have a quorum, we're good too.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People could call in from Costa Rica or DC as well.
Oh, that would ruin your vacation big time. She might be tipsy.
Just hang the agenda up at the swim up bar.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Have everybody involved in it.
Actually, I remember doing that one time. Okay, then we'll call for a motion for adjournment.
Make a motion to adjourn.
You just have to adjourn.
Yep, okay. The chairman will adjourn the meeting for the next regular board meeting to be held on Tuesday, January 28th at 5 p.m. We are adjourned. Thank you all.
Thank you.